your last time at sea?
Except for holidays. Done a lot of cruises since, which was, I like cruising. You wouldn't think so, would you, after all the time at sea? And my wife is not 100% happy with it because she has a touch of seasickness, but she's getting better.
Have you yourself ever suffered from seasickness?
No, no.
Can I ask you how you came to leave the Royal Navy? What preparations were made for you to return to civilian life?
None. Goodbye. What was it you said before about leaving the Navy? Oh, how did I come to leave the Navy? Well, when I joined up, I had to sign on for 12 years plus 2 years voice service, which was 14. And that was the, what we called continuous service. That's why I could go in at 16. Other people took what they called short service, which was from 8 to 25, and then they leave and go join the reserve. After 12 years adult service, you can sign on for another 10 years, and that gives you the right to withdraw a pension at the age of 40. But I often look back and think, well, I wish I'd have stayed in for the other 10 years, but with the marriage and the kids and all this, that and the other, it seemed correct to leave and take on a civilian life, which I did. I have no regrets in one way, because I gained it, you know, considerably, so it was quite useful, but... No, I think I would have liked to have stayed on. I had the option to, of course. Then I would have been a chief fellow.
So why did you decide to leave at the time?
Well, because I had family ties, as it were, you know, strong family. I mean, I'd been away 3 times to the Far East, and I didn't have an awful lot of... I didn't have many options. Only on leave. I didn't. Don't think the wife was ever. Oh yeah, when we bought this house in Plymouth, it was on the basis that I was going to be down there. I'd just come home from the Far East, and I was going to be down there for at least a year or so. And of course, within a couple of months, I was out on the Warrior and had to sell it up again. So we never really had much time together. I was always at sea or on a ship or doing something like that.
I asked you whether there were any preparations made by the Navy or indeed by yourself for your...
I said no, and I'm correct. They have what they call EVT, Education and Vocational Training. You were entitled to that during the last... or 3 months of your service, and you had options to learn to be a carpenter or a bricklayer or whatever. I chose to do motor mechanics because then you also had driving lessons. At that stage, not everybody was a driver. I mean, I certainly wasn't, so I was 30. So I took, you know, motor mechanics and driving lessons, which I passed first time. To my credit and amazement, and I learned a little bit about taking an engine to pieces and putting it back again, because in those days they were very simple, a few nuts and bolts, and it was just... But I enjoyed that. Yes, they did give us that. I don't think there was anything else they did. That was useful to me. That was worth having.
At that stage, were you entitled to a demob seat?
Do you know, I can't remember. I think if I had been, I probably wouldn't have wanted one. No, I don't think. I honestly can't remember. I'm not doing bad on the memory though, am I?
Not bad.
For me, anyway.
You said 1955.
Yeah. September.
September 1955. How did you adjust to civilian life after 14 years in the Navy and subject to Navy discipline?
Well, I came out and joined Clark Shoemakers, and I decided to forget the Navy and start in trade as if I was 20, as if I was 20 year old. So I came out at 30. Sorry? I came out at 30 and I decided that I was going to act as if I was 20 and compete with competition people, whatever it is, at that age in that business, in that industry. And I wasn't going to, like a lot of ex-servicemen, go around talking about swinging the lamp, as we call it, about when they was in the Navy and all this, that and the other. I took it right out of my mind and concentrated on getting on. And it did me good. I did extremely well at Clark's. I had quite rapid promotion and advancement and everything else. And you see, my competition, if you like, was the guys that were 20, 22, you know, university people, all this, that and the other, and I was 30. I hadn't got their youth or education, but I had had a wealth of experience in life, common sense, whatever. So that enabled me to be above all these. So I was always at the top of the class, as it were. And that went down well, so I got quite lots of promotions and things and all that.
How did you adjust to being with your family and to having all the freedom in terms of your time and so forth?
In all my life, I've never had time. I've always had more to do than I've got time to do it. This is me. I'm that sort of, you know, I'm always into, like, do it yourself, and I've built a fish pond out there. I've got a conservatory coming in next week, and there's all that going on. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I like doing things. I don't read. That's one failing I've got. I don't read. I should do. I don't. Very rarely. I'm reading the Navy News down there. You can notice it. I've got halfway through it.
So you had no problems, well I think
being honest, as I got successful and rose, I got a bit cocky. I can't think of the words now, I'm so lost for words lately. I tended to drink more than I should have done, and I looked for the good life. And my good lady, this is my first marriage, she was she was from Somerset, so she was countryfied, and I'm sort of in those days, a sort of dynamic. I wanted to get on, I wanted to do things, I want to go here, I want to go there, you know, whereas my wife was a bit more sort of, not retarded, but homely, yes. Sadly, but in the end, we didn't get on. That's why we...
Do you think that's a consequence of you adjusting to civilian life? Are you experiencing anything?
Well, I came out when I was 30, and that was 55. And we divorced in about 70-something, 72. We were married for 28 years, so 28 years... 55 is 73, isn't it? 1973, something like that. So there was quite a 73, about 18 years or so that was after I came out of the Navy, so I can't blame it on the Navy at all.
No. But I mean, going back to that particular point, in the immediate aftermath of leaving the Navy, did you find and experience any problems adjusting to civilian life?
No, because I use the same attitude to life as I did to business, that, you know, the Navy's didn't happen. It was an experience that I probably didn't need. But on the other hand, looking back, of course, it did me the world of good. But no, I settled down to, I was determined. I'm quite a determined person. I was determined I was going to succeed. And I was determined I was, when I used to go on leave from the Navy, you go in a pub or something, and someone would start saying, oh yeah, when I was in the army, you know, all because lamp swinging. And it got so, and of course, when I, in the early days, everyone was coming out after the war. You know, you were meeting hundreds of ex-servicemen all the time around you when I was on leave. And it got boring. And I thought, well, no way, when I come out now, am I going to be like that? Because the time I got out was, you know, not an issue. But I stuck to the idea that I was going to forget the past and start on with the future, which I did. And it drove me all the way through. And
yeah,
like I said, touch wood, I've been extremely successful. So,
although I have to say that now you've obviously felt the need to revisit some of those experiences because you're a member of the Belfast Association.
Yes, well, that's interesting. I can go on with that one, certainly. Firstly, I had nothing whatsoever to do with the Navy or service, I think, until the 50th anniversary started coming up, which would have been 1990 something or other, wasn't it? 1995, around that era. No. Yes, the war was 1940, and 50 years was 1990. In 90, we started getting the 50th anniversaries of the different periods of the war. Gradually, and it was on the box all the time, you know, it was the anniversary of this, and it was bringing it all back again, because by then I was established, it wasn't important. But why did I join? The first thing I went to was the reunion of the British Pacific Fleet. They called it the Forgotten Fleets, and we had our anniversary down in Portsmouth, and Prince Philip took the salute and everything like that. It was great. And I joined the first one. I joined the North Russian Club. That's the association. And because I joined that, they published it in their journal. And because of when I was on the Duke of York, so then the Duke of York wrote me and said, "Well, you know, would you like to join the Duke of York?" And I did. I'm now in something like 10 or 12 associations, would you believe? I've gone from one extreme to the other, I switched again, you see. Anyway, Belfast. Now, I, for my sins, I had some business meetings with Terence Conran, Sir Terence Conran, down in Hayes Wharf.
What I really wanted to guess at was, it's interesting that now, years later, that you feel you can revisit those memories, whereas at the time when you immediately came out of the Navy,
I didn't want to know. It's a complete switch, and enjoyably so. Coming back to the Belfast then, I was having meetings with Sir Terence Conran off Hayes Wharf. Hayes Wharf is next to the Belfast. Did you know that?
I know.
Yeah. Sorry, okay. So,
last time at Southwark Crown Court.
Oh, well, that's right, in the car park where we used to be able to park. Now it's a bomb site.
No longer.
Yeah, so anyway, because I used to see this Belfast, I thought, Belfast, I rang up after the first time I went down there. I rang up to find out if there was a Belfast Association, because I was already in several by then. And the director said, no, there isn't one. I said, I can't believe that. He said, well, a few people from time to time have tried to sort of get one going, but it's never taken. So that annoyed me. And then I had business with, we were just talking about him before at the beginning, Jeremy Blackman, Admiral. I had a couple of lunches with him over business and that. And the first time, I didn't tell him, I knew I was meeting him, but I didn't tell him I was on the Belfast or in the Navy. So we had a business discussion, this, that, and the other. In the end, I said, well, I suppose I should tell you. I knew he was in the Navy. He knew I knew, obviously. I said, I was in the Navy. I was on the Belfast. He said, well, I was on the Belfast. I was a midshipman. So I said, well, how come we haven't got an association? He said, well, he said, I said, why don't you? You're an admiral. You've got lots of pull. Why don't you organise an association? He said, because there are fewer officers than there are men, and it wouldn't gel if it was the officers started leading it. The men probably wouldn't want to join. He said, you should do it. So, thank you. Anyway, I went away and left it for several months and was down at Hayes Wharf again. And there's a Belfast, and I rang up again. What was the guy's name, the director? I know him so well. The director of the Belfast before this current guy? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so I rang him up and said, look, I'm fed up with this no association. What about if I want to form one? What can I get out of you? He said, well, I'd support you. He said, I'd give you, places to meet and this, that, and the other. But we couldn't, as a, whatever they are, the association, the company, what they are, Imperial War Museum. He said, we couldn't be responsible for organising it or anything to do it, but we would give you our fullest cooperation. So I said, well, then, I better come and see you. So in the meantime, I got my head together and I went down to him with a plan, and he said yes. So I said, all right, and I went from there and I formed the Belfast Association. I'm the founding member and the founding chairman of Belfast. We haven't said that, have we? All this other drivel. Forgot, sorry. It's in there. I got going very quickly, and shortly after, Ted Hill phoned up, whatever his name was, on the Belfast. And he told him that I had to, started things going last week or whatever. So, cut the story short, he got in touch with me, but I'd already got things moving by then on the telly and on the Navy news and all that sort of thing. And anyway, I said, come and help me, deal with the membership applications. Then another guy was an ex-chief writer. He phoned through, and he became treasurer, so the three of us were like co-founders, if you like. Well, I'm the guy who actually started it off. So, is that being recorded? Yeah, so that was interesting. And now, of course, Jeremy gets involved in, he's our president, as you probably know. Gets involved in most of our activities, and he's quite, useful, helpful. We've got quite a few officers actually on it. Oh, sorry, I thought you were waiting to. So that's the thing, and of course, I had some problems, not the least of which was my memory, still had for that matter, and I felt I couldn't concentrate to chair the meetings after a while, and after I'd put 6 months or so, and I thought, well, I'm going to resign as chairman and let someone else chair it, and I'm sitting on the committee, which I've been doing ever since. So I'm still on the committee.
What year was the association founded?
About 98, I think it was. It's on record, obviously, but I think it was 98. Ted would know, he's got a fair memory now.
So you're the number one member?
My membership number is number one, yeah.